චක්කවලේසු අතරාගචන්දු දේවතා සදම්මං මුනි රාජස් සුනන්තු සාග මොකදං ධම්මා සවන කාලෝ අයං බදන්තා ධම්මා සවන කාලෝ අයං බදන්තා ධම්මා සවන කාලෝ අයං බදන්තා නමෝ තස් භගවතු අරහතු සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස් භගවතු අරහතු සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස් භගවතු අරහතු සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස ඉතිපිසෝ භගවරහං සම්මා සම්බුද්ධ විජ්ජාචරණ සම්පන්නෝ සුගතෝ ලෝකවිදු අනතරෝ පුරිස ධම්මසාරති සත් තාදේව මනුසානං බුද්ධෝ භගවාති ස්වාඛාතෝ භගවත ධම්මෝ දීතිකෝ අකාලිකෝ හේහි පාසිකෝ පනයිකෝ පච්චත්තං වේදිතම්බෝ විඤ්ඤූහීති සුපතිපන්නෝ භගවතෝ සාවක සංඝෝ උජුපතිපන්නෝ භගවතෝ සාවක සංඝෝ ඤායපතිපන්නෝ භගවතෝ සාවක සංඝෝ සාමීචිපතිපන්නෝ භගවතෝ සාවක සංඝෝ යාරිදං චත්තාරි පුරිස යෝගානි අට්ඨ පුරිස පොංගල හේස භගවතෝ සාවක සංඝෝ ආහුනේයෝ පාහුනේයෝ ඩක්කිනේයෝ අංජලි කරණේයෝ අනොට්ටරං පුඤ්ඤකේතං ලෝකසාති ඒතේන සච්ච වංජේන පාතු ත්වං රතනත්තයං ඒතේන සච්ච වංජේන පාතු ත්වං රතනත්තයං ඒතේන සච්ච වංජේන පාතු ත්වං රතනත්තයං කරණීයමට්ට කුසලේන යං තං සන්තං පදං අභිසමිච්ච සාකෝ ජෝච සෝජෝච සුවචෝච සම්මුදු අනතිමානි සන්තෝසකෝච සුබරෝච අපකිච්චෝච සල්ලෞකවුත්ති සන්තින්ද්‍රයෝච නිපකෝච අපගම්බෝ කුලේසු අනනුගෙන්ඩු නචකුණ්ඩං සමාචරේ කිංචියේන විඤ්ඤෝ පරේ උපවදේයුම් සුඛිනෝවාකේමිනෝ හොන්තු සම්බේ සත්තා භවන්තු සුඛිතත්තා ඒකේචිපාන භූතාත්තේ තසාවාඨාවරාවා අනවසේසා දීගාවායේ මහන්තාවා මජ්ජිමා රස්සකානුකටුලා ඩිට්ඨාවායේ වඩ්ඩිට්ඨායේ චඩුරේ වසන්තිය විඩුරේ භූතාවා සම්භවේසීවා සබ්බේ සත්තා භවන්තු සුඛිතත්තා නපරෝ පරං නිකුබ්බේත නාති මඤ්ඤේත කත්තචිනං කංචි ව්‍යාරෝ සන්නාපතිගසඤ්ඤ නාඤ්ඤමඤ්ඤස්ස දුක්ඛමිච්ඡේය මාතායතානියං පොට්ටං ආයුසා ඒක පොට්ට මනුරකේ ඒවම්පි සබ්බභූතේසු මානසං භාවයේ අපරිමාණං මෙතාංච සබ්බලෝකස්මින් මානසං භාවයේ අපරිමාණං උණ්ඩං අඩෝචතිරියංච අසම්බාඩං අවේරං මසපට්ටං ทิฏฐันจรังนิสินโนวาสยานุวายาวตัสสวิกตเมนดุเอตังสติงอดิเทยบรมเมตังวิหารังเมดมาหุดิทินจานุปกัมมะสิลลวาดัสสเนนะสัมปันโนขามิสเวเนยเกดังนหิจาตุกัปปเสยังปุนาริติติเอเตนะสัจจวัจเจนะสุตติเตโหตุสัมปดาเอเตนะสัจจวัจเจนะสัมปโรโกวินาสตุเอเตนะสัจจวัจเจนะโหตุเตยยมังกลังอวิจจปัจจยสังขารสังขารปัจจยวิญญาณังวิญญาณปัจจยนามรูปังนามรูปปัจจยสลายตนังสลายตนปัจจยภาสุภาสปัจจยเวทนาเวทนาปัจจยตัณหาตัณหาปัจจยอุปาทานังอุปาทานปัจจยบาหุบาวปัจจยจาติจาติปัจจยจารมรณังโสกปริเทวะทุกขโทมนัสุปายัสสัมภาวันติเอวามิตัสเกวลาสดุขคันดาสสมุทัยโหติอวิชชาตเววาสสาวิรากานิโรธสังขารานิโรธสังขารานิโรธวิญญาณานิโรธวิญญาณานิโรธนามรูปานิโรธนามรูปานิโรธสลายตนานิโรธสลายตนานิโรธภาษานิโรธภาษานิโรธเวทนานิโรธเวทนานิโรธตัณหานิโรธตัณหานิโรธอุปาทานานิโรธอุปาทานานิโรธบาวานิโรธบาวานิโรธญาตินิโรธญาตินิโรธจารมรณังโสกปริเทวะทุกขโทมนัสอุปายัสสนิโรจันติเอวามิตัสสะเกวลัสสะทุกขคันธัสสะนิโรธโหติเหตุปัจจโยอารมณปัจจโยอธิปติปัจจโยอนันตารปัจจโยสัมนันตารปัจจโยสหจตปัจจโยอัญญมัญญปัจจโยนิสายปัจจโยอุปนิสายปัจจโยปุเรจตปัจจโยปัจจจตปัจจโยอาเสวนปัจจโยกัมมปัจจโยวิปากปัจจโยอาหารปัจจโยอินทรียปัจจโยญาณปัจจโยมรรคปัจจโยสัมปยุตตปัจจโยวิปยุตตปัจจโยอัตถิปัจจโยนัตถิปัจจโยวิกาตปัจจโยอวิกาตปัจจโยติเอเตนะสัจจวัจเจนะสุตติเตโหตุสัมปดาเอเตนะสัจจวัจเจนะสัพพโรโกวินาสตุเอเตนะสัจจวัจเจนะโหตุเตยยมังกลังยังดุนนิมิตังอวมังกลันเชโยจามนาโปสกุณาสสัลดุปาปาเกหดสุปินังอคันตังบุตตานุบาเวนวินาสเมนตุยังดุนนิมิตังอวมังกลันเชโยจามนาโปสกุณาสสัลดุปาปาเกหดสุปินังอคันตังดัมมานุบาเวนวินาสเมนตุยังดุนนิมิตังอวมังกลันเชโยจามนาโปสกุณาสสัลดุปาปาเกหดสุปินังอคันตังสังฆานุบาเวนวินาสเมนตุสัพเพบุฑฺฒาบาลปัตตาปัจเจกานัญจยังบาลังอรหันตนัญจเตเจนะราคังบันดามิสัพพสุสัพพีติโยวิวัจจันตุสัพพโรโกวินาสตุมาเตภวทวันตรายุสุขีดีกายุโกภวะภวตุสัมปมังกลังราคันตุสัพพเทวตาสัมปบุญฺฑานุภาเวนสดาสุตติภวันตุเตภวตุสัมปมังกลังราคันตุสัพพเทวตาสัมปธัมมานุภาเวนสดาสุตติภวันตุเตภวตุสัมปมังกลังราคันตุสัพพเทวตาสัมปสังฆานุภาเวนสดาสุตติภวันตุเตสาธุสาธุสาธุSo today is the last talk. So we started by saying, what is fate? Is it possible to change our fate? And how to change our fate, so-called fate? So today we have come to the last part of this. To what extent we can change our fate? We have already agreed that fate, so-called fate, whatever is told to us by fortune teller or by anyone who make a prophecy to our life, and then we know our life can change. But in what way? To what extent? So we have discussed and how to change by changing perception, changing our the way. By using natural law, we change the way we regard life. And then we actually change the outer experiences based on the law of cause and effect. And having full faith with the power of Dhamma, we change. And then we also talk about, in the last talk, we talk about how we can change, make a big change by taking care of a last thought moment, then you have a good future life. So today we come to the last part of the talk. To what extent we can change our life, we can uplift our life. 所以我们开始的讲，今天是最后一个讲座。我们开始的时候，我们是讲解， 怎样， 什么是命运， 是否有命运这回事， 我们可以怎， 有没有可能改变命运， 那么这个我们都谈过了， 命运， 所谓的命运， 一般人所讲的命运， 是可以改变， 那么能够改到什么程度， 我们也谈了一些，也讲了改变命运的一些主要的法则和原理，特别是无我因果的法则，还有缘起法则。那我们也讲解了改变命运一定要依自然界的法则运作。如果我们很强的意志力， 有很强的意志力，但是如果我们所做的一切违背自然界的法则，那么我们明明要我们的生命更快乐，但是我们却更苦，因为我们给自己种下苦因，在这方面呢，这个因果就特别的重要了。那么过后我们也讲到，种种用法的力量，用信仰的力量， 用佛陀的力量、善有的力量、智者的力量，那么我们也讲到，怎样把持临终的最后一念，通过把持临终的最后一念，我们可以给自己生命来一个大大的改变。然后我们也讲，怎样具备什么条件，让自己的愿力。 得到支持，如果我们的愿我们发愿，我们要投身哪里，可是我们没有那个本钱，它是不会成就的，我们要有很多的功德，然后我们的愿才能够实现。那我们也讲了如何投身这个欲界的好的地方，投身到这个色界，乃至于无色界。 那今天我们要讲一个更高层次的生命的转变。我们到底能够做到什么程度，改变我们的生命？实在来说，生命提升的潜质是无限的，无限量的，实在是无限量的，在佛法里面。 在这个世间，我看不到有任何一个教法或者宗教或者是教育比佛陀给我们的还要高的这个开发潜质的可能性，还要高的提升生命的可能性。 除了佛法，在佛门里面，其实你其他的找不到。在别的 宗教或者是教法里最多最多只是教你怎么上天，做主的的仆人等等。可是在佛教里面，我们可以一而再的提升，不只是做天神，不只是做梵天神，不只是做无色界天神，我们可以彻底的断除贪嗔痴，跳出轮回，成为一个再也没有贪嗔痴的这个阿罗汉，从出果生者能够摆脱四恶道，然后一而再的提升，再提升，再提升，到二果生者、三果生者，完全没有贪欲，没有嗔恨，一直到成阿罗汉，多么的殊胜。然后这个阿罗汉呢，成就阿罗汉过后，他就可以了脱这个轮回，了脱生死，然后我们也可以再次的提升。如果这是造佛弟子的修法，那你可以成就阿罗汉。那还有另一条路，了脱生死，还有另一条路。这个是有些人发这种愿，要成辟支佛。那如果有更高的心愿，有些人发愿要成为圆满的一切智慧慈悲波罗蜜的佛陀，正等正觉的佛陀，是多么的殊胜。我们人，一个人，一个众生的潜质的生命，可以高度提升到哪个程度，到跟佛一样的程度，无限的智慧和慈悲，彻底的摆脱我们所有的一切的弱点，培育一切可能培育的所有的能力，所有的圆满，我们的生命，我们的命运可以这样去提升。方法有了，只是需要时间和无限的这个付出的代价，我们愿意吗？好，过后再跟大家讲解这条路重点是怎么走的。 So we talk about uplifting our life, changing our fate. In the teaching of the Buddha, the human potential or the potential of beings can be greatly uplifted. There's almost no limit to it. When it talks about perfecting our life, uplifting our life, there's almost no limit to it. I don't find any teaching elsewhere which can tell us that our life can be uplifted that far. You see, in the teaching of the Buddha, it is not only teaching us to be reborn, to uplift ourselves to the deva level, sensual deva level. Not only that. You can develop up to the Brahma, to be Brahma, the Rupa Brahma, material realm. Then you can even be the immaterial realm Brahma, which has no body, only the mind. And not only that, the Buddha tells us that we can actually, in the teaching of the Buddha, we can actually achieve liberation ourselves, realize Nibbana ourselves, and be free from the rebirth into woful realms. No more hell, no more rebirth, reborn into as animal, as ghost, or the demons, asuras. No more. No more lowly rebirth. This is by the achievement of Sotapattimagga, being a Sotapanna, the first stage of sainthood. When a person achieves first stage of sainthood, he's free from all woful realms, rebirth into woful realms. Of course, a Sotapanna still has anger and sensual lust, still can live a married life, but the assurance is there. And in seven lifetimes, he will be free from the rounds of rebirth. And then this is the second stage of sainthood, Sakadagami. Then there's the third stage of sainthood, Anagami, which is completely free from anger and fear, and completely free from all sensual greed. And then the human potential can be uplifted further until a person is completely free from greed, anger, delusion, pride, jealousy, sloth and torpor, all weaknesses, and become arahant. And once a person has attained arahantship, then he's no more rebirth in next life. He will attain parinibbana when he passes away, and there will be, that's the end. But not permanent death. It is something beyond description, but permanent bliss and happiness. When he realizes the deathless, when he realizes the unborn and the unconditioned Nibbana. And then some people may aspire, some people for some reason, they aspire to be a Pachika Buddha. And there's also another level, and also Arhant, but there's higher level, they have got enlightened themselves, and then they'll be free from the rounds of suffering, rounds of birth and death, the rebirth also. And further than that, if one has a great heart and wish to attain Buddhahood, to be achieve the same perfection as the Buddha himself, he can. So this is the potential that we can do if we want. It's our choice, which way we want. But this is just to tell that human potential can be greatly uplifted. Greatly uplifted. But different goal requires different price. You have to pay a price, you have to work for it. So now we shall come to discussing the main aspect of it. So last week we talked about concentration. If you practice concentration, first jhana, second jhana, third jhana, fourth jhana, absorption. This kind of concentration, if you maintain it until death moment, then you can be reborn in the Brahma world. There are many types of concentrations. Either you practice on loving kindness, compassion, appreciative joy, equanimity, or other types of concentration like kasinas, anapanasati, etc. And then if you want to be reborn in the arupa realm, immaterial realm, which has only the mind and no body, then you practice arupa jhana, four types of arupa jhanas. Then what about insight practice? This is only concentration practice only. The test is the best result it can bring to us. But for Buddhists, we don't practice concentration practice for the mere sake of being reborn as a Brahma. Because even that, it can be impermanent. If we have not attained enlightenment, have not seen the deathless, then future is still uncertain. But in order to have a kind of a lasting, permanent assurance to be free from suffering, then we need to develop this thing called insight. We need wisdom. We need to practice vipassana. The concentration practice is samatha. But that is not enough. To attain final liberation, we need to practice vipassana. So for Buddhists, when we practice samatha, we practice concentration, it's only to have good foundation for our vipassana. Vipassana will be our main aim. But samatha is very useful. We use them to attain this concentration practice. It's important as a laydown, as a foundation for our vipassana practice. One important thing for samatha, from we can use from samatha practice is the light of wisdom. When a practice concentration attain jhana, then naturally the mind, the jhana mind, which is which also has this quality of wisdom, that power of wisdom produce light, very powerful light. That powerful light becomes very helpful, very sharp, to help us to penetrate ultimate reality in Vipassana practice. 如果我们有这个修这个无色定的话，那么我们可以投身到这个无色界的梵天界，无色界里面去。但是呢，我们作为佛教徒，我们修行呢，不是为了，那我们修这个子禅，这个samatha，这个子禅，不是为了要投身到梵天界。为什么呢？因为如果我们投身到梵天界，它也是无常的，有一天我们的梵天寿命结束了，还要继续的轮回。 轮回还是未必有保障，可是我们修止禅，修samatha，只是为了打下基础。为什么打下基础呢？为了我们的观禅vipassana，观禅智慧的培训才是关键。那么有一个工具很有用，当我们培育止禅的时候，当你得到定力的力量，开发出定力的力量的时候，那个心。 有定力的心，安止定的心，它是有智慧的，有智慧的成分。那个智慧，它会起一种作用，它会开发出无限的光明，不是肉眼看得到的光明，这是心眼意门看得到的光明。那么通过这个意门的光明，我们可以很好的做这个观察的观照，你可以很清楚的看到究竟。 真实法，这时你开始从观念的世界、概念的世界走进真实法的世界，这是关键。概念的世界是什么？观念真实法的世界又是什么呢？So, when you have the light of wisdom, you start to penetrate. You can use it to penetrate ultimate reality. Then from there, you are slowly moving from conventional truth to ultimate truth. From conceptual world to ultimate reality. What are these ultimate reality and what are conventional truth? Samuti Satya and Paramatta Satya. Samuti Satya is conventional truth and Paramatta Satya, ultimate truth. These will lead us from one wisdom to higher level of wisdom. And that wisdom is liberating, will produce real benefit to us, to our life, and greatly uplift our life. What is this thing, conventional truth? When we talk about men and women, we are talking about this conventional truth. There's a table, there's a chair, there's a book. There's this language. When someone scolds us, good words and bad words, we capture it as good, as bad words, as praises, as blames. This is all comes under conventional truth. Why is it conventional? Depends on how we perceive it. Conventional truth is not absolute. When you look at a man, you say, oh, this is a man. But when people, when you penetrate, you analyze man, a man is made up of head, eyes, nose, tongue, all the bodily parts. If you take out one part and you think, is this a man? It's not. You cut the ear, take out, this is only an ear. It's not a man. Only when everything comes together, then you say a man. And this is changing. It's not permanent. Okay, this is a superficial way of looking at it. It provides us some understanding and help us to develop some detachment. But this is not enough. This is not the ultimate, still not ultimate yet. Because even ear is, what you call an ear, what you call a nose, is still not ultimate truth yet. Not ultimate reality yet. You are not seeing ultimate reality yet. What is ultimate reality? When a person uses concentration, the light of wisdom, and really penetrate, our body is made up of a lot of small particles. These small particles we call kalapa. And these small particles is subatomic particle. It's very small. It's the smallest unit that can arise and pass away and in a group. Smallest. But in this kalapa, you have different various elements that make up of it. Like earth, water, fire, wind element, and then color, odor, taste, and nutriment, at least like this. And all these kalapa, various type of kalapa, there's an eye, transparency, kalapa. This is all, you don't need to remember, just know it. And then like when we, there's a man or woman, men they have a man, male, sex materiality, and female have female, sex materiality, some things like that. And there's a life force, we call jivita. So in all these kalapa, there are many types of kalapa. And there are four categories. Kalapa produced by karma, kalapa is produced by our consciousness, kalapa produced by temperature, and kalapa produced by food, nutriment. I mean, nutriment is more correct word. Food is not so good. Nutriment, more precisely, is nutriment. So there are four types of kalapas. So all these things. But when you penetrate and you see, this is only the, these are the reality. Ultimately, you penetrate deeply. What is the benefit? At that time, the compactness of grouping is shattered completely. Because of this compactness of grouping, we are seeing things in the form of, we say this is body, this is man, woman, all this. This is our mind. In our mind, we have that kind of compactness. Oh, my hand, oh, my leg, my nails, my hair. But when you break down to that extent, to ultimate reality, the compactness of grouping disappears. At that time of experience, the mind is very sharp and very clear, penetrating the reality. Then this compactness is removed. They no longer see this as man and woman. It's only ultimate reality. This is one. Secondly, while you are seeing all this ultimate reality, they are arising and passing away extremely fast, to the extent that you just cannot grasp it, cannot hold on to it, and you cannot catch any part of it and call it, and claim it, this is my own, this is I, this is mine, this is myself. You can't. And at that time, naturally, it produced a kind of purifying effect on the mind. This we call break down the compactness of continuity. Because of the continuity, we think, oh, this is I. I was hurt. I will be hurt in future. Because of this attachment to this I, so much defilements arise in our mind. So much greed. So much anger. You know, so much delusion. So much jealousy. Stinginess arise in our mind. So we need to practice. When we practice vipassana to that extent, and then you break down the second compactness, then it further reduces our mind, the tendency to indulge in defilements, but not complete, not cut off yet. still defilements can arise every now and then. Then, when you further analyze all this materiality, like earth, it has a earth, water, fire, all these color, taste, they have their functions, they have their characteristics, their function, their manifestation, and the proximate cause that produce them. No need to go too deep, just have a general understanding will be sufficient. Because to go deep into it, you need to really go for a retreat. We have take a long time to go deep into it. Just have a rough idea, knowing that for this tonight, I just want to give you all a rough idea, and I want to tell you which to focus on, what are the emphasis of tonight's talk. So just a rough idea, I'll just simply just mention it. So when that happens, the compactness, you break down this kind of regarding function. Because of you further break down this I, the sense of I. Because all these things, everything, they made up of all these group, ultimate reality, and each ultimate reality, they play a role. It has a role to play as a function, and it has its manifestation characteristic and their proximate cause. So when that happens, the holding of the I is further shattered. So our selfishness gets shattered. Our conceit and all this, And further, then it goes on to see the penetrate ultimate reality about mentality. And that will further, more powerfully, remove our wrong understanding, our wrong view, and then make us understand this ultimate truth further. So, 就在这个观照的时候呢，我们这样子用观照的时候，我们就会慢慢看清什么是这个概念法，或者是世俗谛，三摩地萨迦世俗谛，一个是圣依谛，巴拉玛达萨迦，或者是我们讲的一个是概念法，一个是真实法。那么，当我们了解的这个时候呢，当我们有这个智慧之光开始能够关照我们的身体的时候，我们的设法的时候，内在外在这些呢，那它就你开始从这个概念法慢慢你就走向真实法了，慢慢你就从这个世俗地走向这个圣依地，就是概念法走向真实法。什么是概念法，什么是真实法呢？当我们讲这是男人，这是女人，这个是椅子，这个是桌子，这个是杯子，这个是好话，人家咒我是坏话，人家称赞我是好话，这些都是概念，都是概念，它还不是真实的。当真实法你真正究竟探索的时候，连声音也是不断的生灭的，非常的快速，它都是在有这些色聚在起作用。什么是色聚？色聚就是我们比原子还要小的单位的一种设法，非常小的单位，它有共同升起、共同消灭、共同运作的那个最小的一个组合，这个叫色聚。这个非常小的组合，它生灭的非常的快。我们的身体是由无数的色聚组成。好，你说这个是女人，可是当你把一个女人，你说把她的头发剪下来，这个是女人吗？你说这个不是，这是头发。如果你要把他的鼻子拿给切下来，耳朵切下来，身体手背切下来，你讲这个是女人吗？她也不是。这个是表面的方法来破除这个概念，可是手脚这些还是一个概念，它还不是真实法。当你一直洞悉，用智慧之光照观照到它完全到最后的单位，它就只是无数的色聚的时候，连这个色聚还是概念。当你破除这个色聚的内涵，你看到比如说一个最小最小的色聚，就比如说它有地质、水质、地水火风，还有色彩，色有香有味，色香味食宿，食宿是那个色聚的滋养，这样，所以至少都有最少最少都有八个单位组合而成，它不是一个 个体。那么当你这样子看得这样细的时候，它有产生很大的了解， 看得更细，你会发现到这些社区有四种因素组合而成，一种是业生社区，业生设法，一种是心生设法，一种是实界生设法，实界是温度，一种是实生设法，就是实数所产生的设法。当你这样子看到它的那种种种的错综复杂的关系的时候，那么你发现到连这个最小的单位都是概念，它是由那些设法组合而成。比如说如果是女人，它有女人的心跟色，男人男人心跟色组合而成，所以种种的种种的设法，种种的单最小的单位。那看到这些最小的单位的时候呢，它有一种力量，它有一种力量，它实在是破除我们的那个秘籍。秘籍什么叫一种叫第一种叫组合秘籍，因为我们心有一种组合秘籍的关系，我们才会想啊、哦，这个是一个整体，一个人，一个男人，一个女人，这是我的孩子，这是我的父母等等。可是当着你破除这个秘籍的时候，它只是设局，什么亲人敌人全都只是设局，而这个设局也就是由种种的设法组合而成。那么这时呢，你就看到真实法，然后破除这个，然后你就不能够有说这个是我还是他还是什么，它就只是这些，而且这些东西是一直在生灭生灭。就在你看到它非常快速的生灭的时候，你看到这些设法非常快速的生灭的时候呢，它就破除了这个这个相续秘籍。因为我们相信我们从小到大都是一个都以同一个我，所以我们才会有这个执着，过去人家伤过我，未来有人会伤害我，过去人家对我好讨好我还是什么，是有这个爱恨交际种种的烦恼。可是当我们看到这个破除这个相续秘籍的时候呢，它完全生灭到非常快速的时候，那么你发现到这个所谓的这个自我根本没有什么可以抓，没有什么东西你可以把它说这个是我，这个是我的自我，这是我的，你不能的，所以那些烦恼就不容易升起了。但是还是会升起，因为烦恼还没断，在这种阶段烦恼还没断。所以这些接下来你又再去关照，其实一个心，我们讲一个比如一个身体这个它每一个设具地水火风，这些它有它的特性，它有它的功能，它有它显现的状态，它有它的助缘，它的因素菌因，所以等等呢，现在你们不用背起来也不用记，我只是这样讲过而已因为这个还不是真正的重点，因为要了解这个你还要去修禅，还真正的去修。我们只是我这个在这方面这个是很深的课题，我只是这样子带过去，但因为我告诉你们重点的何在。那么就这样子看下去的时候呢，那么就是那些所谓的邪见我见那些就开始粉碎了，开始破除了。开始破除的时候，破除了我见我执我慢的时候，当它在开始慢慢的减低的时候，我们发现到你的心开始去净化，开始去清净起来，要断烦恼就比较有力量。常常很多人我们听到大家说哎呀，我的嗔心很强或者是我的贪心很强，我不知道怎么掌控自己等等，对吗？我相信我们每个人都有这种经验，对不对？有些时候还是觉得困难的，那个力量不够，因为我们看到真实法的还没有足够的体验。当我们体验越深，我们的力量就越强，体验越深力量就会越强，这是方法就这样的时候，慢慢呢，我们对这个设具设法的这个内外的设法，慢慢就破除这种种种的错见和执着那个慢性也慢慢的慢慢被破除，慢慢被减少，但是不是断，还不是断，在这个阶段还不是断进一步的再修下去的时候，你不只是要对设法有这种洞察，你对心法也要有那个洞察，对心，那是你发现到一个心事，它一个心事它升起升起生灭非常的快速生灭心事生灭的比 设法生灭的更快的，一个设具一生一灭之间心事升起17次， 那么非常快速，当你看到那个形式生灭非常快速的时候，你破除了相续密集，你看到这再也没有一个我可以抓。你在分析那个色、那个色聚、那个心事、那个心的时候，你发现到心有种种的心所组合而成。粗的有就是一般我们讲的，如果是你说五蕴的话，色受想行识，那个受想行识就是我们的明法，就是你可以讲它是精神状态。色法跟明法的差别就是，色法它只是一种现象，明法它有知道的能力，它取一个目标，它取一个目标，它知道一个目标，这种我们是明法。那么那个心事，心事不离开心的状态，有心事就有心的状态，这个心的状态我们叫心所，就好像水，水跟水的状态，对吗？水有颜色，有味道，有它的那个有波浪还是没波浪等等，那些都是水的状态。那么心事也是，心事有心事的状态，比如说感受啊、知觉，那些意志啊，那个心思啊，那个一静信心不动摇，那个作意，这些全都是心的状态。正念啊、信心啊，这些都是心的状态。有圣解、有决心、决意，那个力量那也是心的状态。种种善有不善的，有贪啊、嗔啊，或者是痴啊、妒忌啊，反那个恶作啊，那些种种那些心的状态。善的心的状态有禅心啊、愧心啊，有那些信心，然后智慧啊、慈啊、那个没有那个悲心啊、喜心啊等等，那些很多的那些心正直、身正直，心轻快、身轻快，心柔软、身轻安心，这些都是很多了我们不能一个一个的讲了。情安、情快、柔软、舍因练达、正直等等，很多。那这些心是心所，这些种种的心，这些是叫做心的，这些就是真实法。这些是真实法。当你用智慧之光去照的时候，你可以知道，很清楚的知道啊，心是由将这些组合而成，而且心生灭的那么的快，比色法生灭的还要快，你也能够知道。而且它有很多过程，有心路过程，有离心路过程，这个我们只是简单带过。所以当你这样子看的时候呢，那个心是我们对这个心的密集也打破，没有打破这个密集，我们说这是我的灵魂在知道什么东西，我的灵魂。可是当你这样打破密集的时候，什么灵魂也没有了，它就只是一个无我的真相，无常苦无我的真相。让你看到这个密集打破了，它只是种种的成分组合而成，而这种种的成分呢，每一个成分它有它的，它也有它的这个特性，它有它的功能，它有它的显现的模样，它有它的那个均匀。那么进一步你又再打破那种具体性的那种状态，以为它是很具体性，其实身心都没有它的具体性，它只是有它的无常苦无我的真相，生灭的非常的快。好，当这样子看的时候呢，他就进一步的打破粉碎，他知道身心基本上只是无常苦无我。那么就在这个无常苦无我的时候呢，看无常苦无我的时候呢，我们有些时候还有一个知道的心，我以为啊，我体验了无常苦无我，别人没有体验无常苦无我，我们以为我们这个智慧是很了不起的，那么那还是另一种秘籍，还没有打破所缘秘籍。然后当后来的时候，你看到哎呀，原来这个智慧本身也是无我的啊。在这个观禅的修法里面，有一种叫做气非阿鲁巴萨达嘎气非色，就是其实的修法，它就是连那个智慧本身，你都要看到它无常苦无我的啊。那时呢，心的第四种秘籍所缘秘籍就被打破了。所以这些的时候呢，那时你可以说你了解什么是名色法。名色分别观智，那么如巴把你觉得你了，这样子啊，这个是有好处，这个让我们看到真相啊，看到真相又如何啊，这个我们要关心的。就在这样看到真相的时候呢，你了解两个世界。 一个是概念的世界，一个是真实的世界。那么真实的，它让你心起不了烦恼，就是看它就是这样，然后很多错见就打破。可是你同时你还是不能够欺骗自己说没有这个概念法，没有世俗地，没有男人，没有女人，没有爸爸妈妈，不可以。所以只有在学者在理论上这样子研究的时候，他就会有那种矛盾，那么要杀人没有人给我杀。可是真正体验这种真实法的人，只有让他更深刻的明白什么是概念法。哦，原来这些，他越明白真实法，他更能够掌握什么是概念法，这是真实的。那么那时呢，他会活得很合理。当他的烦恼要起的时候，要直取的时候，他知道真实真相来说，并没有一个永恒不变的我在那边，也没有一个永恒不变的他，他就能够，他的心就能够清净。那么当他面对概念法的时候，他还是要面对生活上的东西，他还是要懂得处理，男人女人老人年轻人懂懂这个整个世间的概念，他还要懂得说，哦，我去什么是好的，什么不好的，什么是很多世间的那些东西对错，他都需要知道。所以他还是很平常的生活，可是这个他的概念跟真实法，他就会有开始有了平衡。如果一个人只知道这个概念法，只知道这个世俗地的话，他不能够，可是他还会面对一种矛盾，很多东西他不能理解。你说无我，谁在轮回啊？他不能理解。可是当一个人他开始了解，得到这个真实法跟这个概念法的平衡的了解的时候，你会发现到他可以很好很平常的在世间生活，而且呢同时比较容易克服自己的贪嗔痴。至少在他安住在真实法的当儿，看到那种快速生灭无常苦无我的当儿，烦恼不容易生起，这样子。哦，好。然后So, we talk about later on is a penetration of mentality. So, when a person using the light of wisdom based on penetrating of the materiality, he can go on to penetrate that the mind is arising and passing away at such a high speed. When one kalapa arises and passes away one time, then the consciousness or mind arises and passes away 17 times. A person can penetrate that.And then this consciousness, this mind, they doesn't arise alone. They arise together with mental states, associated mental states, such as feeling, perception, mindfulness, faith, and a lot of things. We call it jhana, intention, and then the determination, etc. A lot, contact.And then the unwholesome states is greed, anger, and delusion, and jealousy, and stinginess, and sloth and torpor, etc. And then wholesome states are a lot, moral shame, moral fear, and then wholesome state of wisdom, lightness of mind, tranquility of mind, and pliancy.Lightness, and then a lot of mental states, and uprightness of the mind, and then compassion, and then equanimity, and one-pointedness, etc. A lot of mental states, wholesome and unwholesome, and the neutral type also. And when a person see like that, the compactness of the grouping is destroyed. What we call this soul, we always have this idea of soul, but when you see like that,it is only made up of mental states only. The difference between consciousness and mental states is just a difference between water and the states of water. You look at the water, it can be moving, stagnant, clear, unclear, having taste, good taste and bad taste, etc. Same. But these states of water cannot, is always associated with the water.And the states of the mind and is always associated with the consciousness. So in this way. And then you see the consciousness arise and pass away extremely fast, the compactness of continuity is broken. And you see every aspect of this ultimate reality, these mental states and this consciousness, they have their characteristic, their functions, their manifestation, and their proximate cause also. Well, this one you don't need to go deep into understanding. This is a profound subject. I just mentioned it. I will tell you what are the important things to go for in this talk. So I just mentioned it, simply. So when the person understands like that, then he will realize this is actually nothing permanent there. It's all impermanent. And it's oppressive. It is unsatisfactory because it's oppressive. When it arises and passes extremely quickly. And then there's nothing to hold on to. There's no permanent entity. There's non-self. But still, at that time, the person may feel, I have this understanding, this is I that experienced this. He may feel a sense of superiority. And that's it. Then this practice of vipassana will train the yogi to see even the wisdom that arises to see this anicca, dukkha, anatta. Even this wisdom itself, this jnana, is arising and passing away. It's also impermanent self, unsatisfactory and non-self. And then when that realization happens through the practice, we call arupa sataka practice in the vipassana, in part of the vipassana training, then we call aramanagana, this compactness of aramana. I don't know how to translate it. So, it's further broken. It basically means even the I, you think there's I that experiences, even the experiencer, even the wisdom is arising and passing away. It's also impermanent suffering and non-self. And when that happens, a person starts to understand the difference between conventional truth and ultimate truth. Conceptual world, conceptual truth, and ultimate reality. If a person doesn't penetrate this by experience, the person by book knowledge may say, oh, there's non-self, no self. So I can kill anybody. There's no one to be killed. There's no one is killing. Then his world will be chaotic and havoc. But when a person really penetrates like that, by experience, this conflict will not happen. At the same time, while he understands ultimate reality, that ultimate reality's understanding can help him to reduce the chances of having defilements, not cut or not uprooting yet, not at this stage, but the chances of having defilements are much less. At least when he realizes impermanent suffering non-self, at the moment of penetrating impermanent suffering and non-self, it's very unlikely for defilements to arise. Especially, even at the beginning stage, it is unlikely. But if it is at the deeper stage, profound stage, completely no defilements can possibly arise. Okay, so that helps. Helps a person to live without defilements, the mind is much happier. There's having a more endurance to pain, to challenge, and test in life. And at the same time, he also understands conventional world. That doesn't make him fail to recognize this is a man, this is a woman. You know, there must be certain propriety regards to every situation, to parents, to father, mother. No, it doesn't go to make the person lose his respect to parents, to elder people, to wise men. No, that would not happen. In fact, by more understanding of ultimate truth, the person's mind naturally slowly get purified. And when with purer mind, he will only be able to conduct himself much better in conventional world. Because the mind gets purer. All he need to do is, he doesn't go and try to use the intelligence to extrapolate the knowledge. He should penetrate more by experience. Okay. Then we go further. Further into dependent origination. The second level of wisdom will arise when we practice. At first, the initial stage of impermanent suffering non-self, that is only superficial. Not deep enough. At first, it's more like preparing, laying the ground for the deeper vipassana. That stage of seeing what is materiality, what's mentality, that's only like we call laying down the vipassana bhumi, the grounds for vipassana to analyze. But at the same time, at that time already you see impermanent suffering non-self. But that's not the main thing yet at that stage. It's more like identifying what are materialities and what are the mentalities. Okay? Then you come to this stage we call dependent origination. You see past and present and future. How lives evolve from one life. What are the causes produce another life? What are the causes produce another? The past causes produce present effect. The present causes produce future effect. Okay? Past causes. Usually, what produce taking a rebirth? We call it avijatana upadana sankara karma. Ignorance, craving, clinging. Clinging is excessive. Excessive craving. And then sankara formations, then karma. In this aspect, the formation has a broader meaning. I just briefly want to mention this. Okay, we have limited time. So these are the five causes. Past five causes produce present effect that we get this life. And this present, at the end, before we die, this present five causes will produce future life, future effect. So in this way, and what are the benefits of penetrating this? They help us to understand rebirth. They help us to understand cause and effect. It helps us to understand that while you're penetrating this, actually, at the same time, you also see there's not a self is there. Based on conditions, something happened. And when the condition disappears, it's no more there, that phenomena is no more. Because of five past causes, we get this life, this materiality and mentality. And also life, when life goes on, further causes add in. Present causes add in to sustain this life. And when the causes disappear, no more, then we die. Then new certain causes produce future life. When we see like that, there's only conditioning in it. Again, you don't see anything substantial. So the wrong view get further diminished. Then the doubt, is there a past life? Is there a future? Is there cause and effect? That doubt disappear. When that doubt disappear, you see how wonderful it is. If only the world, more and more people penetrate this truth of dependent origination by seeing more, further understand about cause and effect and rebirth, then you find the world's problem. The world will have peace. People, racism, people will think, oh, I'm Chinese, I'm Indians, I'm white, I'm black. All this, so much problem happened because of this attachment to this wrong view. You see, the whole world suffer because of these wrong views. If only they know that it's only for a short time. You cannot really call yourself Chinese. Temporarily, you call yourself Chinese or Indians or white or black. But ultimately, it's only ultimate reality. This first thing, this is the first stage of a realization of ultimate reality already helps you to remove that understanding. And then you know that you can be reborn, not only as a human being, you can be reborn as a deva, as a brahma, and also animals, health. So what is this thing to attach to call a race? You see? You see people fight so much. The Tamils and the Sinhalese fight so much. In Sri Lanka, so much. And then the people from different religions, they fight. Because they don't really understand rebirth and cause and effect. If they understand cause and effect, they will know, oh, now I shouldn't do more new causes, wrong causes, which can produce future suffering. I will stop. I don't want to create new causes of suffering. If they really understand, they know cause and effect, not only believe, they know cause and effect, then they will have a strong motivation to do the good things. Not because someone tells us, not because something brainwashes. No, it's not through brainwash we want to do good. Because we do good, because this is in accordance to truth, in accordance to reality, we do good. So when you understand like that, when people understand like that, naturally, a lot of problems, internal problems of a man or a woman, of a people, of a village, of a town, of a country, of the world, will be easily done away with. So this is the benefit. When we see truth, we know it's just like you see when with the light, you see truth. You'll see a cliff. You will not. No one will choose to fall unless the person wants to commit suicide. But if the person really understands what will happen after suicide, no one will jump. No one will jump down from the cliff. You know it's more horrible. The world after suicide is more horrible. Then you will not commit suicide. So things like that. So this is really a penetrating reality. You know, the truth speaks for itself. The truth tells us what to do. Not someone tells us. No longer at that time, you no longer need the Buddha to tell us, oh, you should do this, this. You know, this is only for our own good only. We don't need to be forced to do good. Naturally, we know we want to do good. If someone at that stage still occasionally still make mistakes, this is because of habitual tendencies, because defilement is not uprooted yet. But at least the faith is there. You know, even if you happen to do bad things, you know it is no good for you. Because you know there are cause and effect. This is the law of cause and effect. So this understanding is so useful. It gives us natural strength to uplift our life. It teaches the way to uplift our life. We know, we start to know what are the causes which will benefit us. What are the causes? You know, whatever wholesome causes you create, it will only produce good result. Bad causes only produce bad result. It never makes any mistakes. But superficially, apparently, yes, it may happen. Sometimes you try to help people and then people blame you for helping. It can happen this way. But the intention of trying to help people, the pure motivation, the good heart, the good karma, always produce good results sometime later. If people regard us badly, repay good for bad, do bad to us, because when we regard them well and they do bad to us, that is not because of our kindness. That's because of some other causes. When we can understand like that, then the faith, the knowledge, the confidence of doing good get established. So, when that happens, we have a natural force, natural, the wisdom itself will tell us what to do and will be a motivation, be the force that makes us continue to move towards the light. And when that happens, evolution becomes much faster, so much faster. 所以接着呢，就是当我们了解名色法的时候，是那个时候也有一些无常苦厄的体验。可是那个时候的无常苦厄体验还不是主要的，因为过后它主要是在奠下那个基础，给我们修习观尘。那个只是辨识什么是色法，什么是名法，什么是这些这个物质，什么是那个精神状态。 然后进一步的，我们进一步的，我们就要看三世因缘，这个缘起是过去的什么因导致现在的果，现在的因导致未来的果。那么这个缘起呢，就这个过去的因有无明、爱、取、行业，无明是无知，我们的痴心，不了解真相。那么这个。 贪爱是指一种执着，取是很强的执着，它一直在重复巩固的。然后行是我们呢在做的时候的那个心，是在这方面，这个行是那个造业的心。那么那个业是那个行，它生灭过后它留下来的能量，很细微的能量，那个我们叫做业。好，暂时我们不要。 在这方面深入，你只要知道有这个概念就好。更重要的是，其在后面，因为这个东西要讲解要很费时，要一些详细的讲解，需要一些时间。那么这个过去的五种因导致我们现在投生，男人、女人还是什么投生在哪里？天人还是什么？那么过去的因投生导致今生的生命，那这一世的因五种因也导致来世的生命，就是这样子，这个因缘投生。 过去、现在、未来，在这样子看的时候呢，在就在这个过程里面，你会了解到因果真实不虚。 如果在临终的时候他成熟的是善业，你肯定投身到善的地方；如果临终的时候成熟的是恶业，你肯定投身到不好的地方去。所以这个就是当你这样子看到的时候，哎呀，就是这个是真的是真相，就是如此。然后那个时候对因果善有善报恶有恶报的信心就巩固，慢慢就巩固，当然可以看得更加仔细。这个因缘这只是略讲，可以看得更加的仔细，可以更仔细的看到是什么因造成什么，今天你的遭遇什么，这些是随着能力修行的能力在加强，它可以看得更仔细。那么简单来讲，它就是会给你那个巩固的这个这个因果的智慧，同时也看到这个本来就是有轮回，而且这个轮回的过程中，你不会华人只是轮回成华人，或者是印度人只是轮回成印度人，不会只是如此的。其实我们未必只是轮回做人，有些时候成天神，成梵天神，或者是不好的就堕落到苦界去，地狱里面去，都有的。所以当你这样子看到的时候，你就会心里的那种很多的错见就会打破了，对自我的执着，以为自己呢执着自己的民主，那种民主主义其实也没有需要，什么我是什么国家的人也没有什么需要，男人女人的执着也没有什么需要，男人可以投身做女人，女人可以投身做男人，人可以投身做畜生，可以投身天神，天神可以投身做人跟畜生。所以当你这样子看的时候，还有什么民主主义要执着呢？你今天你看到在西兰现在战争刚刚结束，他们西兰人跟这个淡米尔人的那种争执和执着，那种种族斗争是多么的可怕，死了那么多的人。只要人们真正的是你说他们有信仰，可是信仰的力不够，如果他们真正看到轮回，了知轮回，了知就是这样子的现象的时候，他们自然的就不会这样子斗争下去了，这个民主的斗争下去就不斗争就不会有了。那么人的问题，很多人的问题，家族的问题，家一个国家的问题，一个世界的问题，都因此的破除了。真的只要这个世界更多人来体验这个真理的话，这个世界你想种族种族，宗教宗教之间的那些斗争都不会产生。所以这个很重要，它替我们破除了很多的错见，让我们造恶起贪嗔痴的错见。但是到了这个阶段还会起贪嗔痴吗？就在很深刻的观照的时候，如果是很深刻的洞察缘起，是不起贪嗔痴的。可是如果在初浅的阶段的时候还是有可能，因为在这个阶段这个贪嗔痴是最多只是说在体验的时候，观智慧升起的时候他不起贪嗔痴，可是因为他还没断根，要断根就需要修无常苦无我，修到后面到最后道果的时候，那么出有四个道，一果圣者出道，二道三道到阿罗汉道，阿罗汉道的时候完全断除贪嗔痴的时候，那时就再也不起贪嗔痴了。其他的时候呢，即使是有很强的智慧很强的体验，只要他还没有断根，只要没有把那个睡眠潜伏的那个贪嗔痴断除的话，还会起贪嗔痴。可是至少一个有正见的人，如果他起了贪嗔痴，他不会给自己找借口，我的贪嗔痴是对的，不会。而那个时候呢，人生命的体验，生命的提升就快速的多了。So when a person experiences this dependent origination, how the rebirth, etc., still possible at times defilements can still arise, but much less.Defilements can still arise because defilements are not uprooted yet, not from the latent tendency, anusaya, not uprooted from the latent tendencies. So because of that, defilements can still arise, but much less. Only when a person attains magga, the path, knowledge, the sotapatti path, the first path, second, third, and fourth. The fourth path is arahata path. Arahata path knowledge will uproot and cut off completely greed, anger, delusion.The greed to Brahma realm, that the greed to sensual realm, sensuality
is already cut off by the third maga, anagami maga. But anyway, at that time, there's no more great anger delusion. So, arahatapa. Then, there's perfect. There's no more rebirth in future. But, if a person only experiences this inside, it only convinces the person that whenever the person, due to habitual tendency, defilements arise, anger arise, greed arise, he will not justify it. He will not say anger is correct. No. No matter what experience, no matter how people regard you, treat you, defilements is never justified. Because you know, defilements will only bring you harm and bad result. So definitely, whatever they bring you best bad result, how can we justify it? We cannot justify it to be okay. So because of that, the power to evolve, the power to change, to be pure, to purify, is so much stronger already. But still defilements can arise. Then the person must proceed to see the anicca, dukkha, anatta, impermanent, suffering, non-self, further of this mentality and materiality of five aggregates. Okay, that's what the further training of vipassana. So with the light of wisdom, the practice of vipassana becomes very powerful, very strong. So very strong. So actually, okay, I'll stop temporarily here, just in case you have any questions. If not, maybe I will further tell you. If those who can still stay on, I may further tell you some stories. Okay. So this, by knowing that, we know with the power of Dhamma, with the Samatha and Vipassana training, we can really change our life so much. So much. Our life, we can change it so much. Until arahanship, until, of course, to be a Buddha, much more need to be done. But this is still the fundamental. If a person wants to become a Buddha, this Samatha and Vipassana is so important. It's fundamental. In fact, it's even more important. Because without Samatha and Vipassana training, all other paramis, all other perfections become shallow, cannot be greatly enhanced. So this is so important. Okay? So our life can really uplift. And if we choose to change our faith, to uplift our life to a great extent, then this will be the important thing to consider, Samatha and Vipassana, especially Vipassana training. 所以呢, 这个呢, 这个直观的修法, Samatha 跟 Vipassana, 可以让我们大大的提升我们的生命, 特别是观禅, Vipassana 是特别是重要, 让我们大大的提升我们的生命, 一直到我们可以成阿罗汉, 或者辟支佛, 或者成佛, 当然成佛, 单单靠止观法门还不够, 还有很多东西要做, 要成佛, 要做的是, 远远超越一个要成阿罗汉所要做的东西, 你要圆满的, 太多太多了, 但是呢, 即使是如此, 这个止观法门呢, 还是很重要的, 它还是很重要的, 还是很重要, 因为只有通过这种智慧, 和力量, 新的力量, 我们一个人的种种的波罗蜜 才能够努力, 没有这个智慧, 他的波罗蜜要培养, 也非常的困难, 好, 暂时就到这里为止, 先看看你们大家有什么问题, 至于多久, 没有人可以确定告诉你, 但是呢, 也是可以试试看的, 那么基本上是这样, 做一些无常苦无我的观照，它没有错，都是好的， 因为它会让我们比较容易放下贪嗔痴， 这是真实的。 但是如果要达到， 要做真正这个观禅的阶段， 你真的要达到那个效果， 力量， 真正的那种很强大的精华力量， 你要看究竟真实法。 所以 你也可以修纯观，其实纯观真正的观禅也可以不要经过止禅，可以，其实也有了，那个止禅就是直接从四大世界分别观入门，世界分别观一入门，其实那个也是属于一种止禅，一直到后来 所以这种只是他没有到 jhana， 所以有些时候我们也把它称为纯观的修法，因为他没有到 jhana， 世界分别观修地水火风的修法，他没有到这个 jhana 的阶段，所以你可以把它当成是纯观。可是技术上来讲，这个修法是属于 samatha， 所以不会很深，你不有没有要求到 jhana 那种阶段。那么这种修法呢，这样子也是可以自戒，可是你还是在那个进行定的阶段就已经有智慧之光，还是可以观照，还是要观照这些究竟明舍法，你的那个观禅，因为观禅是以 paramatta satya， 是以究竟明舍法为目标的，所以如果没有看到究竟明舍法，那么那种只是你像我的感受来了，我的感受去了，那种也是有好处的，你也是看到一点无常无，也是看到一点无常无，也是有净化内心的作用，也是好的。我们没有说不好，都是好的，只是说看你的目标。如果你的目标不只是，你的目标是真的是希望这一生你就要了生脱死的话，那你真的要看到究竟明法，究竟设法，那么他有那种才有那种力量，用智慧之光去修观禅，才有那种力量，这样子。可是好的，你其实多看一点无常苦我都是好的，只是不要停留在那个阶段。那么你自己止禅呢，不通常呢修，我们也有一些学生他们是修四大分别观，可是当他修到进行定的时候呢，其实可以跟他转一转，如果能够修到进行定，已经开发出智慧之光的时候呢，其实转一转它蛮容易就可以入初禅、二禅、三禅、四禅。比较难人家想象，哇，这个很难，非想非非想定很难，其实就这一次的修行人之中，你就发现到有些还蛮好多位都是你们自己太平的，也并不真的是那么难，他们都是在家居士，有些时候是你没试，你试了你可能会才会了解，当然有些人用比较久。可是如果一个人波罗蜜不够的话，他只是看那个初浅的阶段，在初浅的方式看无常苦我，有些时人也是看了好多好多年，也一样没有办法了生脱死。相反的，如果你好好的给自己打好基础，培养定，可能用几年来培养定，可是真正一修起观的时候呢，可以很快，可以很快，很快速，很有力量。比较难是初禅，大多数人都是卡在比较慢的在初禅，可是一旦他经过一番艰苦，他过了那个时候五盖一断除的时候，那时他的努力就有效率了，他不再一直打妄念，那个时候呢他可以一到了初禅，你看大多数人到了初禅，初禅上二禅其实是蛮快的，二禅上到四禅蛮快，四禅都上到了，再修的几个方法非想非非想定都可以修到。所以比较难是初期的那个阶段，当然你说啊，我现在生活上我要处理，我要克服我生活上的贪嗔痴，那么做一些无常苦我的行思都是有好处的。有些时候我都会教他们，到底是什么在障碍到你，你要看到你的念头来，它一灭了，其实你就不为其苦，那是我的念头，你就放掉，很容易放掉它，还是有好处的。我不能说它没有好处，我只是说看你的目标在哪里。如果你真的很恳切要得到那么高那么殊胜的那个法的结果的话呢，那其实没有一个高高的结果是不需要付出大大的代价的，都要代价的，所以看你要付出什么代价。现在的人都是讲 shortcut， 可是我们相信的是老老实实用功，真的。所以这样子 so 什么还有问题吗？So I translate her questions. She asks, we have limited time as a layperson. So as a layperson, we have limited so much to do. So we may not have enough time to practice samatha vipassana, strong method. So can we just practice vipassana? Actually can, you know. But the actual way, according to the Visuddhimagga, if you do the pure vipassana,you go by the four elements practice, you can practice up to actually in Pa'a also people train like that, and the practice up to upacara samadhi, excess concentration. At that time, there's a brilliant light also arise. Not only jhana produce light or wisdom, even excess concentration produce light or wisdom. And then, of course, these four elements practice, it is technically classified under samatha also. So you have to go through a samatha. But it doesn't produce a jhana. This type of practice doesn't produce jhana. So because of that, sometimes we say this is pure vipassana way. But because it doesn't produce jhana, we also call it pure vipassana way. But it can be classified under samatha, because in the Visuddhimagga it's classified under samatha. So this practice, when you get that brilliant light, you can also analyze. You can also practice, you see ultimate reality. Can. But it's a bit, sometimes a bit tired, a bit, because the concentration strength is not so good. But usually once a person reach excess concentration, when the brilliant light arrives, usually we prefer to switch them to other samatha object to get jhana, because it's not too difficult anymore. Once a person get very strong excess concentration, it's just matter of sometimes days. Just switch, then can get jhana. Actually, the difficulty is only in, I think, for most people, it's first jhana only. Once you experience, once you get first jhana, then from first jhana to fourth jhana, sometimes only within days, you can reach up to fourth jhana. And once you have a fourth jhana, every other meditation subject becomes easy. You can quickly complete 10 kasinas, and up to arupa jhana, up to neither perception nor non-perception. Not too difficult. So the difficulty is first jhana, because when a person has first jhana, his effort becomes so much efficient because of the suppression of five hindrances. Before first jhana, you have all the five hindrances disturbing you. So because that's why it becomes very difficult. But there's always a price to pay, you know. You see, if you don't have a good concentration, you want to see anicca, dukkha, anatta. You don't have the light of wisdom, you want to see anicca, dukkha, anatta. But it takes a long time. You, how deep can you penetrate? You know, it's very difficult to penetrate very deep. So some people even get hang on in seeing anicca, dukkha, anatta for many, many years. You know, they get stuck. Same. Still get stuck. But if you lay down with foundation, you develop light of wisdom, you develop jhana or whatever, much faster. So in our practitioners, some people practice up to excess concentration, they also finish. They can finish the course, finish the whole training, possible. But these people, now from experience, it seems that it's much slower. Those who don't want to go to jhana, they practice pure way. They actually take longer time to do vipassana. They take much longer time. So if a person get excess concentration, we prefer to switch people straight to jhana, second jhana, third jhana, fourth jhana, and do a lot of kasina. In fact, it's better to let them do more kasinas practice, the other type of concentration, samatha practice. More they do, the better. They can finish one kasina in one day. After that, they can finish one kasina in one day or 2 days. Then another kasina and another kasina. So within a short time, he master so many things. If you look at the chart, it's so much to do. It seems so difficult. One already difficult. Actually, the real difficulty is only the first one. The first entrance. Once you get into the entrance, the rest is just doing only. It's just a changing object only. Concentration is still concentration. Fourth jhana concentration is still fourth jhana concentration. So you see, this is how even now you find that you're typing people, the participants, those people that you're familiar with, so quite a number of them, they are getting up to very high level already. They get good concentration. So they are also lay people, you see. It's not impossible, it's possible. Only if you try it out, you know. But at the same time, I don't really discourage contemplation of anicca, dukkha, anatta at any level. At any level of contemplation of anicca, dukkha, anatta is also helpful. So sometimes when our students, they have a wandering thought so much, you just say, oh, you see the cessation, oh, you see, the moment you're aware of wandering thought, the wandering thought cease. So no need to hang on. So sometimes they find, easier they overcome their defilements. So it is also good. We are not saying that it is bad. But we are just saying that depends on what is your aim. If you only want daily purification, that's very good. But if your aim is very high, you have to pay a high price for it. If your aim is you want to be liberated, you want to be free from samsara, then pay a high price for it. If not, then any practice is good. You just purify your mind, metta, karuna, mudita, upekkha, even not up to jhana level, daily practice of ordinary loving kindness that helps you to change your life so much. Not only jhana change your life, ordinary practice of loving kindness change your life. So in that way, depends. Huh? So if you have a high aim and high hope, then it is good to practice exactly according to the ancient text, and then that will lead you to go a long way. But good, good. Not much problem. Okay. So anything? Very good. Actually, that's a Christian view. If you confess, you still go to heaven. But that's not the Buddhist view. That in our Dharma, everything, you know, if you have done something bad, confess only, you stop the pattern only. You know, what we have done, you have done. The karma is karma. You know, if you can stop the pattern from continue to kill people, then they will solve, you know, a lot of problem. You know, at least the evil gets stopped, you know, the cycle stops there. That's how confession really helps us. So often people suffer a lot, unnecessarily, you know. They have a little bad karma, when bad karma ripens, they create more bad karma when the bad karma is ripening. Because of that, the cycle moves on. A lot of suffering. If you make confession, you just say, oh, this I know, this is wrong, I don't want to continue anymore. You know? Then the pattern gets broken. You know, the tendency of trying to do the bad things, same bad things, it stops. So because of that, then that karma still ripen. But we don't deny that a person who killed some people, you know, may still go to heaven. Depends. Because if he has done tremendous good, you know, as we say, there are a lot of, then maybe the last thought moment, the good things ripen. But still this bad karma of killing people will cause some suffering. If a person be reborn as a human being again, maybe a shorter life. You know? Because last thought moment is powerful. Okay, yes, you get your human life, you escape. But that killing karma can cause a person to be deformed, you know, or things like that. You know, we obstruct the good karma. So things like that. So cause and effect always works, but it works in various ways. You know, in various ways. It may not work in the as a determining the rebirth, but it works in obstructing good karma. It can happen. You know? So in this way, we don't deny that there are cause and effect. It's always cause and effect. The only thing is confession helps, but we must know the limit. We are not trying to praise, uphold confession beyond limit to say that you can do anything and then you confess and you go to heaven and nothing will happen. Then you can always confess as the last day before you die. Then, so you can just continue and enjoy doing all the bad and kill people and do all the horrible things. And then last day you just confess, I accept Jesus Christ, then you go to heaven. It cannot happen that way, isn't it? So that is not our teaching. That's not our teaching. So we just make confession to determine to come out from the bad cycle. That's all. So, but also we can reduce suffering by, if we know we have done something bad, we quickly do a lot of giving, do a lot of dana, sila, bhavana, do this, a lot of merit, strengthen our mind power. Then we'll be more able to sustain. I mean, to absorb the result of the bad karma, to take it. Still, it happens. You know? Some people they suffer sickness, but they don't get good doctor. Some people when they suffer sickness, they get good doctor. It makes a difference, you know. So when people who have the merit to meet a good doctor and get good medical service, then the person, you know, may escape death. But another person having same type of karma, but you know, so if he doesn't have good merits to support him, and the moment he rushed to the hospital, the doctor all go away. It just happened to be so bad luck, and then he died. So things like that. So we can develop a lot of wholesome deeds to support us. Hopefully, when bad karma ripen, then at least our good karma are good enough, strong enough to absorb it, to take it. Like a big ship, you know, you can take the whole aeroplane there. But if there's no ship there, even if you put a small pebble, you drop into the sea and sink to the deepest. You know? So something like that. 他的问题是，在基督教里面呢，有说，我们忏悔，只要一个人呢，不管做了多大的恶事，只要相信耶稣，然后接受耶稣的话，然后只要忏悔呢，他一定会投生到天界去。那么我说这个是基督教了，佛教不是这样子讲的。我们佛教里面是说因果呢还是有因果的，只是说我们的那个。 你忏悔呢？你决心这个是错的，我不要再做了。那么那个循环就停止了。如果我们没有忏悔，我们还是倾向那个倾向，还继续在那边演变，还要再去造恶，还要去造恶。可是我们忏悔了，那个效果就，一直让我们继续循环的那种效果，那种模式业的模式就可以，因为我们的忏悔而破除。所以这样子的话。 就少了很多苦痛，很多时候一个人他造了恶，他就，比如说一个人他就是自杀的话，他以后在投生，他是一直很想要自杀的，更惨，他一直有那个自杀的念头，一直想要自杀的。有些人，如果他过去是自杀过的话，那么即使是下了第一出来的话，还是一直想要自杀，所以就是苦中会再继续造苦因，苦中造苦因。可是如果是他有那个忏悔，他知道这是错的，我不要犯。 那么他慢慢就会从那个循环里面走出来，这样子哦。要不然的话，如果是忏悔是万能的话，那我们可以等。我要做坏事就做坏事，做到完了，然后最后一天临死之前讲啊，我忏悔，我相信主，我相信耶稣，那就是跳上天，那不是很划算啊？没有这样划算的事。不过无论如何，我们也没有说杀人一定会上不了天，不一定，看哪一个。如果你的善业很强很强，你。 过去就算你杀了人，可是现在善业很强很强，像那么如果是临终的一刻，善业起来，你可能投生到好的地方去，还是做人。可是那个恶业还在的，杀了人的恶业可能让他短命投生的时候短命啊，或者是残缺啊之类的，还是有的。所以业还是真实不虚的，还是有的。所以当我们这样了解的时候，我们就会知道。 因果实在是真实不虚，忏悔只是一个工具，帮助我们而已。可是它没有绝对的力量，它不是绝对的法，所以我们还是需要老老实实的去进化、去修。那当然呢，像安古里玛拉，他杀了九百九十九个人，可是因为他证阿罗汉道，然后这个阿罗汉道果，他再也不会投生，所以。 也比什么都不需要了，他自然就再也不会有来世。所以即使是杀过人，可是那个业是有在他那一世的时候，还是给人家丢石头，丢到头破血流。可是呢，他不会再让他投生来世再苦界里面去。所以这就是法的力量了。So I just got another example about Angulimala. Even though he killed 999 persons, but because somehow he has strong merits in the past and strong parami, and he attained. He attained arahanship, arahata maga pala, and cut off all defilements. No longer will be reborn in, anywhere. So all the bad karma has no chance to ripen. But yes, the killing karma still ripen in that life. Yeah, when he went for pindapala, see people throw stone at him and things like that. But at least it wouldn't produce bad rebirth. Wouldn't be reborn in hell and things like that. So, there's the power of Dhamma. If we practice a lot of Dhamma, then we can really protect our life. Because everyone at one time or another must have done something bad. Those days when we were young, sometimes we look at ants, we just kill. Mosquito, we just kill. You see. So I'm sure everyone has some kind of bad karma like this. Killing karma, lying karma, etc. So when we do a lot of good, then we can protect ourselves with a lot of good. 因为我们过去每个人都造一些恶了，所以如果我们行多多善，我们能够用善心来保护自己。Okay, not much time for stories. Okay, never mind. In future we meet each other, then if you want, I tell you more stories about rebirth. Actually, I like to tell, but I want to tell more. I just want to cover the aspect of how we can evolve our life and change our life. the most important aspect. But if you have time, telling stories is a very interesting thing. Especially rebirth story. How? In rebirth, you learn a lot of things. A lot of things about yourself, about truth. You know how by giving freedom to others, you get freedom. How by following the wise, you can change your life so much. 所以今天没有时间跟大家讲的故事。 因为重点是要跟你们讲这个怎样改变生命的这个原理，如果是一个语言就好，我要翻译所以就比较困难。所以如果有机会的话，其实我是准备了一些故事要跟你们讲，可是没有时间，有机会再讲。这个轮回的故事是很好的，轮回的故事里面告诉我们很多很多东西的，很多人要看轮回不知道，其实很多很多智慧， 让我们更深入的去了解到自己，也了解到生命里面一些重要的法则。比如说，你真正相信到，哎呀，原来是给人家自由，给众生自由，自己也很容易得到自由。做善事啊，很好的，亲近智者是那么那么的好。你看到多少次我们生命的改变，是因为从亲近智者开始的，所以这个很重要啊。所以。 无论如何，今天时间有限，要回答大家的问题。那么，我们讲座就到这里为止。愿你们都能够继续的在佛法上提升，让佛法提帮助你改变你的生命，提升你的生命。 So I wish all of you be able to apply Dharma in your life and let Dharma help you to uplift your life.